Welcome to another Search Datamanagement.com podcast. I'm Hannah Smaltry, site editor for SearchDataManagement.com. As we hear time and again, master data management, or MDM, is a complex discipline involving people, process, technology, and the inescapable politics and culture changes that surround so many data governance projects. While many companies are still investigating MDM, some early adopters already have success and best practices to report, such as our interview subject today, Lance Dacre, Director of Data Governance for Nationwide Insurance. Lance has been with Nationwide since 2004 and offered us some fantastic insight into their MDM project. Listen along to hear best practices and critical advice for any MDM project. Today, we are speaking with Lance Dacre of Nationwide Insurance about his Master Data Management project. Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Lance.
Great to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit of background about your Master Data Management project? When did this project start, and why did Nationwide decide to pursue MDM? And in there, I know this is a long question, it might be helpful to know how you define MDM at Nationwide.
Sure. Our MDM project here at Nationwide started as basically a larger finance initiative. We started back in 2004, and basically we did a full assessment of the finance function. We looked at the availability of financial information, the comparability of financial information, as well as the efficiency and effectiveness of the finance function. Specifically, we really focused in on the financial information as we brought it to an enterprise level for reporting, as well as the sort of decentralized and duplicative functions that we had in the different businesses that were currently out there. So as we looked at those, we decided that we were going to consolidate ledgers, consolidate enterprise reporting, and establish a finance shared service center that would do all of the accounting across the enterprise. And as part of that initiative, we incorporated master data management so that as we consolidated those ledgers into one specific ledger, we had control over the dimensions as well as the reporting and the business rules associated to finance.
How did you build a business case for your project? Was there an executive sponsor who helped support and fund it? How did that all pan out?
The executive sponsor was really the CFO. He drove the whole project. He had been here basically 2 years before he started the project and had gone through something similar at a previous company. But he was the one who started the finance initiative, wanted to make it easier from a enterprise standpoint to do the reporting, and really drove the businesses to work together to make this happen.
And as you actually started to plan and implement all of this, what kinds of technical and business challenges did you encounter along the way?
We ran into a bunch of business challenges. Basically, you had a lot of non-standardized processes out in the business to bring even the different businesses that are grouped together to be able to consistently report them. For example, we have several different companies that do property and casualty insurance, and they had different processes on the ways that they reported. And bringing that information together at the top of the house was difficult to do. And so what we had to do is go back and say, okay, we want to report it this way, and from an enterprise perspective, from, you know, in standardizing it and making sure that everybody was consistent, and that's how we then started to get the business to the table and say, okay, this is how we do it and review their current processes and how can we standardize those across the different businesses. From an IT perspective, we built a whole new environment. We put up a new instance of PeopleSoft, General Ledger. We built a financial data warehouse as well as data marts, and then basically hung cubes, Hyperion cubes off of those data marts, as well as built in reports off of that as well. We consolidated more than 14 general ledgers, and we had actually 20 chart of accounts that we consolidated basically into one. We had 17 quote-unquote financial data repositories that we basically got rid of, and we consolidated or tried to consolidate over 300,000 different Excel spreadsheets across finance and investment community. Now, I'm sure some of those spreadsheets still exist, but we have done a good job of taking a large chunk of those out of there, and everybody is reporting from one consistent basis right now.
300,000. I've heard of a lot of spreadsheets, but that is like a lot of spreadsheets.
It is a lot of spreadsheets.
And if listeners are looking along at that slide of your systems architecture, is there anything specific to note on that architecture? What is that slide all about?
It is the conceptual view of our current architecture. Basically, it flows from left to right. The source systems are on the left, flowing into kind of a data integration layer, which basically transforms all of the incoming information into our code block so that it can be read throughout the rest of the environment. We have a general ledger, which is the ERP box at the top there in the middle. You will notice that manual entries still go directly into the ledger. The accountant still can make entries directly to the ledger. We also have a finance data warehouse, which is the green cylinder, I think they're out to the in the middle. That's where we store transactional detail. One thing we have done is made the ledger a little bit thinner than we had in the past, which makes things a little bit easier. And then the calc engines are the allocation pieces, as well as budgeting and planning, those types of things. Global consolidations is also included in that. And all that data basically flows out into the finance data warehouse, then out into the marts, and ultimately into the cubes where the users access that. The one thing you will notice at the bottom of the slide is that the metadata repository and reference data repositories span the whole entire architecture. Basically, when we make a change to the reference data or the metadata, it flows throughout the entire environment. There is no, well, we need to make a change in ERP as well as make the change in allocations. We make it in one place and propagate it out across the different systems within the environment.
What was the final result of your project? Where are you at now? I know you have a name for it, the Focus Project. Is that what you call it?
Yep, the Focus Project. We actually implemented it in three different stages, starting in the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter was the first part. We did a large change for most of the P&C or property and casualty companies at the beginning of 2006. And then we have a public entity that we converted at the start of the second quarter in 2006. The environment is up and running. We have most of our companies in this environment and reporting out of this environment. We do have several smaller out-of-scope companies, as we like to refer to them, that to currently have their own GLs that we haven't been able to get to at this point in time. But as time goes on, we're slowly converting them back in.
Finally, Lance, what were some of the highlights and business benefits of the project, either at an anecdotal level or I know that you have some metrics that you've used to measure your success.
We do have some metrics that we have used. Basically, the data governance group right now is responsible for the quality and integrity of Nationwide's financial data coming into the environment, as well as going out of the environment from a standpoint of reporting and those types of things. What we've tried to do is reduce the number of errors that are coming into the environment and reduce what I like to refer to as the manual manipulation that would go on between maybe the posting of a transaction and ultimately the reporting of that transaction. That has gone way down, as well as just the number of errors from the source systems. We've really worked on that over the past basically 6 months to reduce that and help with the dimensionality so that we can get better reporting and touch the data less after it enters our environment, and so we can be a little bit more efficient, gain efficiencies from a standpoint of we don't have to correct errors, and the people can spend more time on insight and more value-add activities rather than the operational side of things.
Can you offer some best practices and some advice for others around the business and cultural challenges or the IT challenges, both sides?
It is a great undertaking, and I would say that the cultural difficulties are the most difficult to overcome. There are a lot of people who feel like you will be invading their space, that they've had control over their data or their dimensions or whatever since the beginning of time, and that's how it's always been done. It is difficult to overcome and or difficult for people to understand that their job isn't necessarily going away. It's changing. It's changing to more of, don't worry about the operational side of it. We'll take care of the operational side of it. You're going to do more analysis and provide more insight into the numbers that are coming out rather than worrying about how that number got there. And that is very difficult to do. The other difficulty you'll run across is there are a lot of relationships between the business and IT that will be broken or have to be broken because of the fact that you're trying to standardize. We run into situations all the time where the business will say, well, we'll just go to IT and have this change made really quickly. The fact of the matter is it can make it more difficult if you're standardizing your processes from the standpoint of, you know, you've set up things in such a way, maybe from a reporting aspect or an allocation aspect, and since you're in an integrated environment now, if IT or the business goes out and says, well, we want to do it this way, let's go ahead and make this change, that could impact those other downstream processes. So those difficulties you will run across, we still run into them, but, you know, I think as time goes on, we've started to overcome those, and people are actually, they understand what the reason is for doing that project and why master data management is so important.
Great, and maybe you've got some real-world learning for your psychology degree coming up here, too.
there's definitely a lot of buy-in you have to get.
Well, maybe if we could just finally touch on some of your future plans. I know you're not quite done with this yet. There's more you want to do.
No, there is not. There is more we want to do. We actually are really looking at expanding the data governance role from a standpoint of taking it really to an enterprise level and not just we're focused on finance right now. One of the things that we do want to do is ultimately get out and talk to the marketing functions as well as maybe underwriting or pricing, those types of groups, and how do we define maybe what a customer is or how do we define the different products that are out there. Those types of things we're trying to now standardize and starting to reach out to those groups. We haven't really started that yet, but that is something that we're looking forward to next year to really continue the standardization and take master data management to another level for the organization.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us today. The man who wrangled 300,000 Excel spreadsheets, Lance Staker of Nationwide Insurance, Director of Data Governance there for Nationwide. Thank you again for speaking with us, Lance.
Thank you.
To learn more about master data management, remember to turn to searchdatamanagement.com for our ever-expanding collection of MDM resources. Check out podcasts, best practices, articles, or pose your own questions about master data management, customer data integration, or product information management in our Ask the Expert section with a link right at the top right-hand corner of the site. And don't forget to subscribe to our RSS feeds so you stay up on the latest news, trends, and resources in data management. Once again, you've been listening to a searchdatamanagement.com podcast. I'm Hannah Smaltry, site editor. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.